You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Second hour of the Rural Survival Show right here on RBN. Today, Lori's got the day off. Actually, she's planning on taking a little bit of a sabbatical, so she might not be on for a few months. But anyway, you know, she's still living here. Everything's fine with us. It's just that I think she's, after several years, she wants to take a break from radio. Anyway, folks, a couple of announcements real quick. RBN is hurting for money, guys. I'm going to just lay it out straight for you. If you got some spare change, please go to republicbroadcasting.org and make a donation. You know, of course, the station prefers, the network prefers, you know, recurring donations so they can make a budget. But even if it's a one-time donation, right now especially, it would be very much appreciated. Also, RBN is joined up with blackoutcoffee.com. That's blackoutcoffee.com. There is a coupon code, and it is Romeo, Echo, Papa.
Tim, isn't it Black Rifle Coffee?
No, Blackout Coffee. It's blackout.
Oh, weird. I've never heard. Okay. All right. Please continue.
All right. Anyway, it's at blackoutcoffee.com. The coupon code is REPUB10. Romeo, Echo, Papa, Union, Bravo, 10. Okay? You can call into the station if you need more info, but apparently it's a really good, tasty coffee. I'm going to be ordering initially the smallest size I can get, see if the family likes it. And if they do, and we can afford it, then guess what, guys? We're going to be using it. Okay. We're going to go to our first caller, which is Art
Tim,
in Georgia.
Tim, before you do that, can you give me 10 seconds? I have not. We still
sure.
need to talk about. We still need to talk about collards in your garden and how to cook them. And but before we're not losing track of what we're doing here, but now can we should go to Art in Georgia
right now. Okay. All right.
Sure.
Art in Georgia,
sure.
On line three. Good morning, Art.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Talking about seeds, one thing I learned, you know, because I want to be as much independent and self-reliant as possible. So I've learned that if I harvest only what I need when I want to eat some and just enough to be able to can some up and let the rest of it go to seed, I can literally harvest about 75% of the seed, let the other 25% drop, and I can get a second crop out for every year. And this allows me to harvest, and then I do with the second crop, I harvest only what I need to eat and let the rest of it go to seed, and let it drop in the next year, it'll come up on its own. And so now I have these huge patches of collard greens, for example, growing all over my property. So I just walk out, and there's more than I can ever eat. I ended up with my entire backyard is just one big giant salad bowl, simply by doing selective cutting and allowing certain plants to go to seed so that I could create this five green salad in my entire backyard. And it's amazing. Nowhere in my backyard, in my side yard, can you walk without stepping on food. That's how much is out here now. collard greens, dandelions, plantain, clover, and such things as this, lamb's quarters, pokeweed. Now, pokeweed you have to cook, but everything else you can eat raw. Broccoli, you can do the same way. You just harvest only what you need, let the rest of it go to flower and seed. And, you know, when we start talking about things like collard greens, broccoli, cabbage, kale, lettuce, virtually any kind of lettuce, all of these are self-pollinating. So all you need to do is leave. If you have 10 plants, let 3 of them go to seed. That'll produce enough seed for 2 years. You'll let 1/4 of it drop to the ground, and you harvest the other 75%. And, you know, this is what I've learned, and this helps when you're talking about, you know, being completely self-independent and not having to buy seed anymore. But you just have to learn what which seeds will do what, you know, based on what you want.
I have one thought on this matter, and that is this. If we get into a rough situation and you have people seeking you out, and you wind up with, you know what they always say, beware the volunteers.
Right.
I do, what I like to do, and I do this for my own benefit because I forget what the heck I'm doing, is we've got this, they make this 1-inch colorful, like plastic tape. It's not tape, it's a colorful strand of a plastic that comes on these rolls. And what I'll do is, if I find a really nice looking plant that I most definitely don't want to harvest, I want the seeds, I'll tie that on one of the branches so that I systematically dodge that plant. And so that will become my designated, and I'll pick a strong, good-looking plant that I want to save the seeds from.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll mark that off. So if you've got a bunch of kids or grandkids milling around your place, you don't want them yanking your seeds, I would handle it like that. Anything with a red or orange or green tape on it does not get pulled or cut.
Right. And that makes complete sense, you know. But for somebody like me who lives alone, that's not going to be a problem because you're going to be able to identify which plants that you're wanting to keep. And you're right. You want to keep a good, healthy, strong. Generally, it's going to be the largest, the thickest, the most abundant-looking plant. And those are the ones that you want to keep because those are the ones that are going to produce your viable seed for the next year. And, you know, and do it like that. The storing thing works really well, storing them in your little vegetable thing in the refrigerator with an oxygen absorber, like your little toe warmers, your little hand warmers. That's a really good idea. But the problem with that is if heaven forbid, we have that grid down like everybody's so worried about, seems to be worried about, and we lose power and that's it, we're done, and we're going Jericho style or something like that. Well, as those seeds warm up, moisture is going to build up in those jars, and you're going to have to use those seeds right away. Right away. You're not going to have any choice. What I do when I save my seeds, and this is just a thought, I do basically the same thing. I put them in a jar with an oxygen absorber, but what I do is I keep them in a box tucked away in a closet somewhere where it's cool and it's dark, and that's how I store mine. And they seem to last. I'm planting seeds that are 4 and 5 years old, and they're growing.
Right. Yeah. If they're properly stored, they'll last that long and a lot longer. I'm still planting sun gold tomato seeds I got back in 2011. If you store intelligently, your investment, that's what I'm saying here, is you go to Todd Seeds and you buy a pound of collard greens for $14 or whatever.
You probably never have to buy any more collard greens for the rest of your life.
I wouldn't think so. So your responsibility now is just making sure they're stored in such a way that they don't go bad on you.
Right. Exactly. Anyway, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you later.
Thank you, buddy. Glad you called.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Our next call is Patrick in Texas on line 5. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. I like gardening. It's so earthy. Y'all was playing that Dixie. I wish I was in Dixie. That kind of brought back some memories of what happened to us with all these carpetbaggers and all these Rothschilds, railroads and banks and Exxon people. They came down with their, and they came in with something that was unusual to us. We were very healthy people, a bunch of farmers. But they started processing seed oils. And that was a huge mistake because those seeds, like canola oil, rapeseed oil, and safflower, and all those things, as soon as you process them, they start turning rancid immediately. And they put that all in, like, Ritz crackers and just everything in the sun. It may taste good, but it is absolutely toxic. And your brain's like 80% fat. All your cells, all the membranes are fat. And it's a huge disaster. You can correlate that, all those diseases, right over to the creation of all these processing, all these seed oils. And there you go. We are your man-made destruction. Yes?
Yeah, you do. Over the Christmas holiday, I don't know, maybe some of you remember, my son is a chemist. He is the major protein chemist for Ralston Purina. And over the Christmas holidays, we got into a discussion, which we've had before, about just exactly that, about the difference between polyunsaturated fats and monounsaturated. I didn't get into it during the burning of the Crisco candle, but I told you that that's what you ought to do with it, is light it on fire, but don't eat it. You'd be so much better off. I forget the number now, but the polyunsaturated, it's like vegetable oil, canola oil, corn oil, they oxidize at a rate that is like 30 times faster than, let's say, olive oil, avocado oil, or lard. Okay, those are your good fats, even though lard is getting a real bad rap. It's not actually warranted. What you shouldn't be doing is eating corn oil or vegetable oil or canola oil or Crisco. You shouldn't be putting that in your mouth, because not only does that screw your brain up real good, you wind up with gut, really, really serious gut issues, which, we've said this before, your digestion is it's going to dictate your health. And if you're going to eat rancid oils, you're going to be sick all the time. But please continue, sir.
Exactly. It's the free radical theory is something that, you know, it's, if you don't know about it, you need to know about it, because it's every cell in your body has a little factory, a little motor, a little turbo, a Porsche turbo. It's called the mitochondria. And it creates ATP every, your body weight in ATP every day. And whenever you take in those free radicals, it's like taking BBs and throwing it in that turbo. It's bad. And it's even worse if you get like radiation, like cell phone radiation, for example, 5G. It's like taking silver dollars and throwing that turbo. All cancers come out of that mitochondria. That's why you don't want these unstable products,
fats,
in your system.
Yeah, bad fat. We call it bad fat around here. You want to avoid that. If you want to burn that in your lamp, you go right ahead. If you want to turn it into a candle, you go right ahead. But what I suggest you don't do is put it in your mouth.
There you go. I yield with that, guys. Y'all have a good day.
All right. You too.
Thank you for calling, sir. You know, Rick, what I told you, I don't know if I ever said it on the air, but when I butcher a pig or even a cow, I want the fat. I want the lard. I forgot what the name is for beef fat, but there's a specific name for it. I'm just drawing a blank.
It's called...
I'm drawing a blank on it.
Tallow.
Yeah.
Tallow.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. But anyway,
they claim it's inedible, but it's not inedible at all.
No, we he is going to want. In fact, is with deer meat, we put the beef fat in it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because and otherwise, you can't fry a hamburger with it.
Yeah. So for those folks that don't know, if you process a pig, the lard, it's called leaf lard, is actually inside of the body cavity, not outside. And if you look in there, if you look into the cavity of this animal, you will see there's this pure white leaf lard, and it is basically tasteless.
Yeah.
Which is why it is like desirable for cooking. Speaking of that, before things get out of hand, you want to talk about collard greens and that kind of thing before we get lost? Well, collard greens, look.
Sure.
Of all the
things we don't have any collards waiting.
Well, good. Of all the things you can put in your garden, it is widely suggested, opine, that collards probably produce more food per plant than anything else in the garden. And that wouldn't be anything of note, except they're so doggone good for you. I mean, you're talking about a mineral-rich, dark, leafy green. But here's the deal, too. I have a neighbor down the street. It just so happens he's black, and he has a daughter that cooks her butt off, and she makes some excellent collard greens, and she's made me some on several occasions, and I appreciate that. I've never cooked them until the other day. I was trying to find some eggplants, which you can't find any of in this city. I think I mentioned that. However, having said that, I was staring at some gorgeous bunches of mustards and collard greens, and I'm like, you know what? If I'm not going to make escabeche, I'm going to make collards. And so I bought a giant bunch of mustard. Now, I'm talking about as big as both my forearms. It was like, $1.84. It was practically free. And mustard's the same. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to go straight back to the butcher department, see what's going on back there for some smoked hog meat. And I came across smoked pork neck bones. Now, that I can see, there's no meat on this.
Not
I mean, I'm not going to chew on a neck. I'm not going to, no, there isn't. I'm not going to chew on a neck bone to figure it out. However, this is what I did, and it is so simple, and you can't go wrong, I promise you. So I washed the collard greens, and I diced them up reasonably small, like one-inch squares, which is no big deal. You roll them up like a cigar and just chop them. Okay, so now you've got clean chopped greens. Take a big Dutch oven with a lid. Put your smoked meat in the bottom with a couple tablespoons of olive oil and get it going until it's aromatic. When you're starting to smell, the house starts to smell good, put in a diced yellow onion. Wait until that starts turning translucent, which you're talking maybe another 5 minutes. Then a couple cloves of garlic, okay? Now, you're not going to even let that garlic cook because you'll ruin it. So right now you're going to add 2 cups of chicken broth. And in my case, I didn't actually have any thought out, so I just used 2 cups of clean water with 2 chicken bouillon cubes. It's that easy. Okay? Now, at that point, I put all the collard greens in the pot on top of this hot liquid, which smells great. Smells like onions, garlic, and smoked something. I put in, you know, so many that I couldn't get the lid on, so I got the lid sitting up on top, and I'm like, okay, well, it'll go down. Sure enough, 5 minutes later, the lid's down, and even though that was a gigantic bunch of greens, I was expecting this stuff to cook up into a black goo like spinach. Fortunately, it did not do that. It retained its color. It was a dark green. It retained some chew, and the flavor was unbelievable. I couldn't believe.
Yeah.
Oh, one more thing. I put in about 3/4 teaspoon of black pepper. Now, I didn't crack this fresh. I didn't want it to be quite that spicy, so I just used some black pepper that had been ground by the company, and I threw it in there. And that stuff, I hit it dead on the first time. That was enough for two people for three meals. And I'm not talking about where you put a little scoop on your dish. As a side dish, we actually used a bowl. Okay, so we got three bowls of collards, the collards slash mustards, and they were excellent. And so if we're going to talk about seeds...
Did you mix them together, Rick?
50-50, and it was unbelievable. I mean, I impressed my pants off. I couldn't believe I did this. I'm doing it again.
All right, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Call in numbers 512-248-8252.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Show here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is Saturday, the 15th day of January in the year of our Lord, 2022. Okay, folks, bear with me. I've got some announcements to make real quick, several of them. One, we have more masks in to sell. go to ruralsurvival.life. These are mosquito netting masks that really piss off these snowflakes that are so scared of this virus. I've had really good luck getting in most places with them. Not everywhere, but most places. And the worst thing they can do is tell you to leave or put on a different mask. But we do have some of the most popular masks, the black and the camo ones, back in stock. To get there, just go to ruralsurvival, all one word, .life, ruralsurvival.life. Click on the link on the left-hand side of the page near the top. Also, while you're there, check out our sponsors, Extendivite, which Rick and I both use. It will really help take the plaque out of your blood vessels. I had a problem with my right leg since taking it. That's all cleared up. Of course, my right leg is the one they took veins out of to fix my heart about 8 years ago. But anyway, I still got one good leg, and I'm trying to take care of it. And that's what I use that for. Also, you'll see a banner there right above the Extendivite banner for Ready Pure Water Filters. Their most popular thing right now is a countertop emergency water filter, which holds 2 gallons in the top, and that makes you 2 gallons of clean water in several hours. You add another 2 gallons, and you're ready to go. So that's something to look at. They're not that expensive. I've got Ready Pure products, or not Ready Pure, but yeah, yes, that is Ready Pure, throughout the house. But anyway, guys, take a look at that. Okay, Rick, where were we, buddy?
Well, not sure, but I'm looking at my notes, and I want to mention a couple of things. We were talking about collards, but there are numerous videos out there discussing which plants to plant when things get rough. And so I wanted to segue from the collards into that just a little bit and mention that, you know, I planted things out and around, you know, God only knows, you know, just various things. And things like tomatoes and carrots and other things. And okay, you know, I'm good at growing those and I have no problem. But as far as big food producers, as far as being able to put food up, I'm not going to put those, you know, in that class. Those are not the big food producers that you would need if you had hungry people looking at you. So what are you going to do? So, you know, so you're going to have to focus on those plants that reliably, they're easy to grow and they produce food. Collards is number one on the list. In my opinion, followed probably by potatoes. Now, last year I put in a huge potato patch, and if, for those of you that listen regularly, you probably remember that it would have been probably a success, except the deer showed up, and they kept eating the potato plants as quick as they came up, and of course they're not supposed to be eating nightshades like tomatoes and potatoes, but here they're doing it.
No, but
and
they
I
are.
Don't get, I don't get it. Well, I don't yeah, get it. We've had.
I don't understand it.
I don't understand it because
they're doing the same thing here.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because they've been sprinkled with aluminum or what. I don't know what the problem is, but I don't like it. So the local MFA. Farmers Mutual has 10-foot T-posts for $15. So this year, I've still got the potato patch. It's there. It's the root stop potato patch. It's hay or straw, a foot deep. I will cordon that off with barbed wire this year, and I'm going to go again.
Go for it. All right, folks, we're going to be back in 3 minutes. Calling number is 512-248-8252.
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is the Rural Survival Show with Jim and Rick. Today is Saturday, 15 January, in the year of our Lord, 2022. Hope everybody's enjoying the show so far, and hope everybody's having a fun and safe weekend. One more time, folks. RBN truly needs your support right now. The funds are getting quite low. So please, if you can afford it, please go to republicbroadcasting.org. That's republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate link. Now, the network would love to have a certain amount every month coming from rich person, be it $5, $10, $10, $20, whatever, so they can do some better budgeting. However, one-time donations are most sincerely appreciated. Also, you can help out RBN by going to blackoutcoffee.com. That's blackoutcoffee.com. You just heard the commercial. I'm going to be trying some myself as soon as it gets here. And the coupon code is REPUB10. That is REPUB10. So give it a try, folks. I'm going to. And once I get it, I'll tell you guys how I like it. You know me, I'm honest. Okay, Rick, we don't have any callers waiting. So we were talking.
Yes.
Were we still talking about collards?
Yes.
No, we were talking about what produces the most food.
We were, and to that end, let me say two things.
Or both.
So when you go to try to plan what you're going to plant, or you should learn to grow, because I know the bulk of you don't know what you're doing. You know, you think about plants that have dual purpose, like, say, a beet, where you can cook the tops like collards and yet eat the beets. Turnips, you get a root and you get turnip greens, okay, which will be treated, again, like collards. Rutabagas, same exact thing, a member of the brassica group. You get to you can take the rutabagas and you can use those for anything, mashed potatoes, diced up, cooked. The rutabaga tops also make excellent greens. So think about those things that can be used in a couple different ways. With respect to coffee, I have, I'm not going to drag this out, but I'm constantly on the search for the greatest cup of coffee, and not that it's of any great interest to the bulk of you, but I have discovered a couple of things. One is that what one coffee has, another coffee has something else, that they're all lacking in something. The dark roasts have great dark smoky flavor, but they are lacking in the caramels and the florals and all of the
right,
the things that make you go back for another cup. So in my opinion now, the blends are absolutely the way to go. So I've been blending caramely floral light roasts with medium roasts or dark roasts right around 50-50, and I am coming with coffee that has some of everything. And I think, you know, for me, that is the way I'm going to do it. However, the pour-over coffee pot,
cool,
the regular drip coffee pot, has problems. You can only get so much coffee and so much water in there before you wind up with the thing overflowing everywhere. So I ordered a percolator coffee pot off Amazon, and it was the white and blue enamel, and I thought, this is going to be good. I've already got one that is not a percolator, and it is just bulletproof. It's just, but this thing turned up to be a absolute Chinese piece of trash. The basket inside had nothing to do with the coffee pot. I don't think they were produced by the same company for the same reason. So I sent it right back, and I went to Lehman's, L-E-H-M-A-N-S, Lehman's. Now, these are the people who sell all of the off-grid stuff, like wood stoves and all this stuff, to people who live off-grid, or the Amish or the Mennonites, and that kind of thing, okay? And they had about a 12 or 14 cup stainless steel percolator coffee pot for $100, and I bought it. And it was supposed to be here yesterday, and it wasn't. And I am absolutely disgusted. It's supposed to be here today. I wanted to be able to try out the pot, but for the show, but I didn't get to. So here we have my neighbor sitting. He can't see me. I'm standing right in front of him, and he's texting me, asking me if he would like me, if I would like him to plow the driveway. I see all the neighbors descending on the elderly.
That's a good thing.
So. Hold on. Give me 2 seconds.
Sure.
He's looking right at me. He can't see 10 feet. He's driving a John Deere. He's driving a John Deere tractor, and he can't see. I don't want him in the driveway. He'll wind up doing something crazy. anyway, That's what it is when neighbors take care of neighbors, okay? The old people across the street, they're 80, 90. The old boy fell and broke his thumb and his hip, and the gal, she keeps falling down everywhere. So all the neighbors are rushing over there right now to plow snow for her. And no. So anyway, that's what you look in a bad situation. We got like 4 inches of wet snow and that kind of thing. And so that's what you want to do. You want to keep an eye on your neighbors and stuff, and you want to try to make yourself useful.
Yeah, oh, geez, I agree.
Oh, he's going to do it, and he's going to try it anyway.
Just thought of what I can do to help people.
Yeah, you can. Call him and stop him. Oh, geez. All right. damn it. Hey, talk for 60 seconds while I start.
Now we're pushing for it. All right. Well, we're talking about coffee pots here, folks. Ori and I have one of those rocket stoves that John Moore sells. He's vice president of the company. And you go to his site, there's a waiting list. I think the orders now, don't quote me on this, but I think the orders that go in now will ship in March and April. So these things are very popular, but I got one. And what I did for a coffee pot, I went on eBay, and I think it was for $6 plus shipping. I got one of those Corningware percolator pots. And we just set it on top of the little round cooktop that's on those rocket stoves, and we have a pot of coffee in no time if the power's out. You know, and usually we just use our bun coffee maker. We got one of those from our, it's a restaurant style or diner style, whatever you want to call it, where you make a pot, set one on the burner, and it sits there for a while, and we got two extra burners we can plug into it, so. And we got like 5 pots, so we can make a bunch of coffee. But that's what we do. And I really like that little Corningware coffee pot. It makes good coffee. It truly does. So that's something to look at, too. And they're cheap. You know? I like the listings that show all the pictures, and that way you really know what you're getting. So, but anyway, the kind Rick got, if you can get a good one, I wouldn't recommend Walmart, believe me. But if you can get a good, stovetop or coffee pot, it's a good thing to have. When this weather first started, I thought it was going to be ice last night, but it was warm enough. But I have to admit one thing. It's gone, since snow started, it's gone from about 42 degrees to 30 right now. So it's been quite a temperature drop. Anyway, folks, call in number is 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. One thing I forgot to mention when I was talking about the mask and flash drives we have available for sale, the Survival Library flash drives. It's about 6 gigs of survival documents, information, books, all that stuff. But also, we're starting to get in with some hats. The mega hats, and the only one we got in so far, which is available for sale, is the ladies' Make America Great Again hats in pink. So I think we're priced at $14.95 on that, but you'd have to look and see. You go to the same place, Rural Survival. Okay, Rick. Yeah, you go to the same place, folks, Rural Survival. Life. And, you can click on the link and see them there. Okay. I was blowing my own horn there for a minute, Rick.
Sure. So. This fella is getting ready to push my driveway, even though I've got the blade on the Kubota. But he's going around and he sees that my driveway ain't pushed and the driveway is not shoveled because I'm on the air. There's a reason for these things. So, but he also had a flat tire, so I had to hook him up to the compressor. So, aside from the fact that the Fed is, I didn't hear where we were, but aside from the fact that the Fed is destined to raise rates a couple, three times this year and a couple, three times next year, the market is going to hate every second of it, and the market is going to go south. There's one other thing they're claiming.
I think corporate bonds are too.
Yeah, apparently the Evergrande situation hasn't unwound, but we also have. They're also now coming out and they're claiming that they also have another really, really good tool at their disposal, and that is price controls. Yeah, you talk about.
Well, Reagan did it. Remember?
Oh, I remember it just fine. But I think my point here would be is that, you know, they can't control inflation, so they're going to try to put a cap on the growth, on people trying to raise their rates so that they're not losing money. So you say, okay, the price of lumber, there's nobody to load the stuff, and so the cost is going up. Shipping is awful, the price, so they're going to say, okay, yeah, well, we don't care about that. We're just going to limit the amount of money you can make, and you're just going to have to worry about how to stay in business. Price controls. This is not going to work. It never worked. It is the last convulsing efforts of somebody who is dying of something to get. It's the last gasp. So we'll see. We'll just see how this works out. In other news, if you're even thinking, I see people in urban areas raising rabbits because they make no sound, and they don't know what you're doing. If you're interested in that kind of thing, I am only casting casual glances at the situation, but there is a group. There is a group called Sprague River, Sprague, Sprague River. I guess it's. And this gal probably does some of those comprehensive YouTubes on the mathematics of it all, and how to do these things, what to feed them, which breeds to get. And I can tell you here locally, and I told you before, these things are $18 a pound. So that means one rabbit is going to bring $50 locally. And I'm not suggesting that this is something that you would necessarily want to do for profit, but you could. That's really not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that as far as a situation where you have, let's say, sustainable source of protein, just in case you feel you need it, that would be one thing to look at. Chickens, of course, are pretty reliable. You know, once they get going, and it takes a good 8 or 9 months for them to begin laying. So, but, you know, the thing about rabbits and chickens and eggs is no rabbits are killed in the production of an egg. So, you know, if you're squeamish and that kind of thing, and you'd just rather go collect an egg, well, you know, there you go. As far as the rabbits go, I have a number of thoughts on the matter. As I mentioned a while back, I had meat chickens, and killing a dozen meat chickens, I found it. I am no prude. I've been hunting all my life, trapping and all this. I just didn't care for the entire the ordeal. It was just kind of weird. Taking care of something for 8 weeks just to kill it, I found it weird. But I would do it. I would. The only reason I would ever have chickens or meat rabbits is because we have an over zealous evil government who is doing everything they can to destroy the supply chain that supplies your food. So under these circumstances,
yeah, they want to see bugs, Rick. The UN says they want to see bugs.
Well, DARPA, Now, I saw this. This is interesting. DARPA is 3D printing food from...
Yeah.
Food waste. Food waste from food waste. So I don't know if I want to eat green 3D printed trash. I don't care if it's green or not. I'm going to
guess the next
green
step
dyes.
Is.
Oh, God, it's probably...
Next step is soiling green.
That's what I was going to suggest is God only knows what they're putting in there. I don't want to say what I'm thinking, but I'm just going to guess that this is just about as evil as everything else they do. I just, you know, look, so get your seeds, find out what your, if your city will allow you to have like 5-6 hens, have them, buy one or two extras because they don't always all make it. And if they catch with one extra hen, give it to the inspector or kill it and eat it yourself. But, you know, if you don't want rabbits, don't get rabbits. But, you know, for God's sakes, get your seeds and learn to use them. You've got, we are only, this is kind of exciting, we are only in my, now down south, they're only 2 weeks away from starting the nightshades, which would include, you know, tomatoes and peppers and eggplants, some of my favorite foods. And but up here, I'm going to guess I'm about a month away. So the middle of February, I will be starting my tomatoes and my peppers and my eggplants. However, this year I will not be putting them outside until I know for a fact we are clear of a rogue frost. As I mentioned, last year I lost my entire nightshade crop to one rogue freeze, so we're not going to do that this year. I will keep them.
That was in May, wasn't it, Rick?
No, it was April, but, you know... I should have known better. You know, it only hit about 32 degrees, but nightshades love the heat and hate the cold. And I should have seen it coming. But you know what? If I'm going to learn a lesson, if I'm going to get my butt kicked, let's do it now and not while everybody's looking at me with those hungry eyes. So, you know, let's handle it like that.
I hear you.
What else you want to deal with?
Well, we don't got much time, Rick, but I did want to say here for where we're at, we start putting eggs in the incubator on Valentine's Day here, or the 15th, whatever, mid-month.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it takes a month to hatch the eggs out, and then they sit in our big brooders for, another 3 to 4 weeks, depending on the breed, until they're completely feathered out. And, you know, and that way they come out pretty much past the freezes. And they're fully feathered, so it doesn't make that much difference. But, yeah, we'll start collecting eggs the second week of February and start filling up the incubators 15th of February. So I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's what would you call it? It's a rite of spring. Spring, even though it's, you know, I'm looking at 4 inches of snow out there. It's a rite of spring. We're getting ready. We're getting ready to garden again, and it's also a wonderful opportunity for those of you who are not good at it to get better at it. You're right. We almost have no time. Here's an interesting thing. So Max Keiser, probably the world's foremost proponent of Bitcoin, is in El Salvador because of the situation, because El Salvador was, I guess, the first nation to adopt Bitcoin as a viable currency. But he has also requested citizenship, and he's waiting for his paperwork to come through. And because he's been... a Wall Street type tycoon and very well versed in things that we're talking about. He will be completely out of gold and silver this year and converted it all to digital currency, all to Bitcoin.
I think that's a bad idea myself.
I think it's scary. I don't think you should be all in on anything.
I agree.
Furthermore, there is this guy. He is called the Money GPS, and he is.
I watch him daily.
He's very, very good. But what he's been suggesting over the past week is gardening. So what I want to say to you people is this: look, when you're getting stock tips from the shoe shine boy, the market is going to collapse. When you're getting gardening information from your financial guy, you better look out.
Yeah.
If this person is on board, if this person understands what is going on to the point where he's going to suspend regular programming, he is talking about something called, I think it's the one-yard revolution. Now, this guy hasn't posted in 2 years. But what he did was he turned his entire backyard into a food factory. So this fellow is suggesting that you have a look at that and that you do that, and that you go ahead and you turn your grass into a food machine. And you know what? That is not a particularly bad idea. You can always throw grass seed again if all of the evil in this world is vanquished and you don't have to worry about your food supply, et cetera, and you just want to grow flowers and tomatoes and peppers, if that's what you want to go back to, life as we used to know it, okay, you can do that. But for the time being, it's not the worst, not the worst idea on the planet to turn your yard into a vegetable garden, in my opinion. It is a just a wonderful use of space, and but you're going to need seeds, aren't you? And you might want to look at Haas Tools. One more thing I would, and Todd's, one more thing I would mention, the reason I said Haas is because this has been on my mind. They have a couple of things that I don't own. They have Top Bunch 2.0 turnips. This is a turnip that produces no turnip. Well, why would you want it? Okay, because it's the tops. It's just, it produces turnip greens with no turnips. Okay, they also...
Well, we'll talk more about this next week, Rick.
Yeah, we should.
Well, we're out of time, guys.
Oh, I can't hear it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back same time, same channel next week. Please pray for us because we're going to be praying for you. Bye-bye, everybody, and God bless America.
John, I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee, it's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted, it's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.